It's very much a pleasure to be here tonight with you and to have heard about some of the things going on in Willits. Sort of practicing weapons of mass construction, you might say. Basically, I'm bringing to you a message from Portland. And what we're talking about, we think is worth talking about because we're basically talking about you too. Challenges that all communities face and the opportunities, therefore, are challenges and opportunities that we all share. The forms will change every single time according to every combination of people that's involved together. But what you'll find that I'm going to be showing you tonight is going to be basically about restoring participation, talking about what people can create together when they decide to focus together on creating common ground. So in order to talk about city repair tonight and therefore talk about sustainable culture, I'm going to be talking a lot about unsustainable culture. Therefore, we'll be talking about globalization a bit and colonialism, how that's affected not only the landscape we live in, but it's affected our entire stream of the development of our culture or the civilization that we live in. One thing that city repair likes to point out is that culture is different than civilization. Civilization has to do with civil structures. It has to do with the ancient concept of the civis from the Latins that were very aggressive, that basically formed the Roman culture. Civilization is a process that's synonymous with colonialism. It has to do with going into where people live in indomitable cultures and changing their cultural patterns, basically disempowering them and putting them into a civic structure where they become citizens of the city-state. Oftentimes when we talk about like civilization or citizens or civic participation, we don't really realize quite what we're talking about because, for one thing, the knowledge that our villages were taken away from us has been obscured from the record. And yet we are all villagers. All the values that we have that impel us from deep inside to create patterns of connection, all of the cultural expressions that we have, the languages that we speak, the songs that we sing, like all of those things arose within the sort of context of village cultures. And on the other hand, the city-state does not tend to create things. It tends to evolve technology. It tends to make people be specialists as opposed to generalists. And it's all about competing and dividing and compartmentalizing people and making them work their whole freaking life and wonder why they're even there. Like, why are we here? Like, what a question. I mean, you notice that when you're really enjoying yourself, you don't tend to ask questions like that. So I'm speaking on behalf of the City Repair Project and Communitecture, two organizations, cultures really. I mean, sometimes people use the word volunteers in our projects, but I don't like that at all because the main thing that we're trying to build is relationships. So I don't like to relate to anybody in terms of a hierarchy or in terms of an authority or someone being a volunteer per se. It's about becoming friends again and reintegrating what has been disintegrated. So a lot of people talk when they're looking at what city repair does, they say, geez, you guys seem to be planners. Are you anthropologists? You're natural builders. You're doing permaculture. Are you architects? Don't seem to quite be architects because you seem to be doing more carcitecture than architecture. As you'll see tonight, we do some bizarre things that roll. So actually, we think of ourselves as being more like economists. Like we say, okay, economics is about the house, right? Eco, that's about the house. So as economists, we also say, well, the economy is really about the ecology because that's about the house too. So what we do in city repair as creative economists, you might say, is that we say, all right, well, economics is supposed to consist of three things: social capital, natural capital, and economic capital. And at best, it's a tripod of three equally balanced things that all fit together into a balanced whole. Okay, but in the paradigm that we're in, just to understand the economy and why it's constantly needing to grow, because it's an empire model that constantly needs to be expanding and assimilating the stuff, the lives of other people. The way that that economy works is that the social capital is very narrowly focused into the lives or into the hands of a few people. The economic emphasis is massive. That has to do with the monetary structure. And then the natural capital is really only accessed by them to be exploited. So one thing that we're talking about when we're talking about sustainable culture is a rebalancing of the three parts of economy and a total first emphasis on relationships. Because as soon as you activate social capital, what we mean by friendship and love and family and community, everything else starts to work, because once you have relationships and reintegrated community, things start to flow. The natural capital, the economic capital becomes accessible, and the best ideas come to the fore. And that is what we always meant by democracy. Yes, there'll be a test. Okay, so we do permaculture, we do natural building, we do ecological design. But Penny Livingston, who's sort of a permaculture goddess, said of city repair lately that city repair is the application of the principles of permaculture to human consciousness. It begins by stating outwardly that human beings have a habitat. We have a habitat. And because we're villagers, chances are it's the village. One of the things we'll be talking about tonight as we're talking about solutions is we'll be pointing out that what happened to our ancestors that caused us to lose our villages, when they were conquered, chances are in those villages they held land in common, they tracked time in terms of cycles, and then they had an indomitable sense of culture. As soon as they're conquered, the land becomes compartmentalized. It becomes a commodity. Time becomes measured with a linear sort of emphasis, with a certain beginning and a certain ending, and the whole story described in between, as you know what I'm talking about. And then community becomes divided against itself, where all the cooperation of the inherent cooperation of the society gets turned inside out into competitive models. What city repair does is just say, we're starting over again, and we're going to just set those things in proper relation and model all of those things and give people a chance to feel what it's like to be in a landscape that is common and where time seems to be endless and in which community is in cooperation. And then the creativity just sort of takes everything from there. So I just want to point out a few things that I was thinking about on the way up here besides the idea of weapons of mass construction. I want to point out, like, when we talk about basketball players being dominant, like Jordan's dominant, we don't really, again, know what we're saying. Think about these words. Dominance comes, again, from the Latins, those colonizers that came down from the north into the lands of Rome. They called God Dominus, just as they called the landlord in Roman times Dominus. The model of the God King was there. Dominus dominated the domain. He had a domicile that was served by the minions. Those would be our ancestors. Architecture itself, this is going to sound confusing for a moment, is the material fabric of dominance. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have roofs over our head or community structures, absolutely. But look at the word architecture again that comes to us from Latin. It means structure and technology. A Native American can point out to you that it doesn't connotate anything about home or people or culture. And in fact, the object emphasis within the practice of architecture and planning as we know it is inherently antithetical to sustainable culture, because it precludes from the beginning participation of the people who will live in the buildings, unless you happen to be designing your own home, in which case it's not quite architecture in the same sense. So I want to ask, when did the situation arise that we work for someone else rather than with each other? And when will come the time, and when will be the place, where will be the place when we live together again? Some people talk about how someday we may have world peace. Maybe it'll be the next generation, because we have a sense of progress now. But I know this, someday someone's going to say, right now. My friend Pedro Ferbel in Portland says this. He's an anthropologist that works with city repair. And he says, it is time for us to stop trying to convince each other that something is wrong. Like, you hear it in coffee houses, you hear it around the dinner table. Did you hear about the latest atrocity? You know, and then just kind of trying to convince each other to instill yet another sort of level of awareness about what's happening, what's going wrong. Pedro says it's really time to stop trying to convince each other and just move. Movement. In City Repair, we say revolution happens all the time, and it's about the cycles of time, how things just happen from day to day. We just make our choices, they all add up, something happens, and the revolution just keeps turning and turning. Eventually it pops, things turn over. Now the way that in colonial structures revolutions happened in the past is that everything has fallen apart and a lot of people have been hurt. But because we are a creative culture and we have an opportunity, a really important opportunity now at this time in our story, we have an opportunity to create a new vision and to lead the way to something that isn't quite the same form of revolution anymore. So with that, I'd like to just start. Okay, this story starts with just reminding you that moving through time and space, whether it was crossing the oceans to come to this land or moving across this land, you know, moving westward, a lot of seriously bad things happened to the people who lived here before, and that's the central part of the story. But another thread in the fabric of that story is that people moving across that land were running from something and running to something like the promised land.